hundreds of people outside the Federal Communications Commission today are rallying to save the internet, calling this the free speech issue of our time. Coming up next. And welcome to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, what we call the on-the-ground edition, where we cover social justice activism with a special emphasis on sustainable living, the environment, economics, labor, and the left edge of culture and media. I'm Esther Averam, your host, and I want to first thank Eitan Thomas and Dave Zirin for their sports show, The Collision, and also thank all our listeners who stepped up on that show to become members or renew their membership with WPFW, your listener-powered station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. I also want to thank you for staying with us and supporting our new show for this jam-packed hour. Our goal is $500 to raise during the next 60 minutes, and we know that is not much for a rare space that I know you appreciate, where voices of activism and direct action can be heard. Today, the free speech issue of our time. But first, other activism in the news. More than 100 people gathered May 8th in Hearne, Texas, to protest the fatal police shooting of a 93-year-old African-American woman. Witnesses say Pearlie Golden was shot at least five times outside her home on May 6th. Authorities say Golden had a gun when a police officer arrived following a reported dispute with her nephew, who was trying to take away her car keys after she failed a driver's test. The officer involved, Stephen Stern, previously shot dead an African-American man in 2012, but was cleared by a grand jury. After the protest, Stern was fired at a city council meeting on May 10th. And braving a brief storm that blew through Baltimore's Inner Harbor on Saturday, more than 3,500 healthcare workers and their supporters rallied to end poverty pay at Johns Hopkins Hospital, which is touted as the number one hospital in the United States. The Mothers March and Rally for Justice was energized by busloads of union members from 1199 SEIU from New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, and was a strong show of support for the 2,000 members at Hopkins who had been in contract talks for more than 2 months. In the negotiations, the union's main message is that Hopkins' pay is so low that many workers must rely on food stamps or Medicaid to get by. Here are some voices from Saturday's rally in Baltimore to end poverty pay at Johns Hopkins, including actor and activist Danny Glover and Wendell Pierce, known best from his work on The Wire and Treme.
$11.99 in the house today. It's $11.99 in Baltimore today. Raise your voice so John Hopkins can hear you.
The last six, 7 months have been hard for me. Lights cut off, car took, I had to give up my apartment. There are times that I work anywhere from 15 to 16 hour shifts, as many as 3 to 6, 7, 8 days just to make sure the bills are paid, and that's not enough.
2 weeks ago, there was a 3-day strike at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And until we went on strike, we didn't know how many friends we had.
It's about time you compensate us for the work that we do. You don't become a world-class hospital by yourself. You became a world-class hospital off of our backs. It is unacceptable. It is borderline criminal for Johns Hopkins to earn a revenue that exceeds almost $2 billion as a nonprofit making $140 million in profit and paying their wages to poverty-stricken full-time employees. So I said today, we want a living wage. Pay the people what they deserve. You have built this hospital. You are partners with Johns Hopkins. You are not employees. You're owners of that hospital.
My name is Simone Hicks. I've been working at Hopkins for 2 years, but I'm also living in a homeless shelter. There is no reason for us at all to be getting food stamps, to not be able to have enough to take care of our children. It's no excuse for that.
These mothers here, mothers who cannot afford to have health care from the largest and the greatest hospital in the world. It's unconscionable. This is a call to action. We're telling the administration at Johns Hopkins University Hospital to get in that negotiating room. And you know something? We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to win.
Those were voices from Saturday's rally in Baltimore to end poverty pay at Johns Hopkins, which, when the university and the hospital are combined, is Maryland's largest employer. The last voice you heard was the actor and activist Danny Glover. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Well, just minutes ago, hundreds of people were rallying here in the nation's capital at the Federal Communications Commission, also known as the FCC, addressing what is being called the free speech issue of our time. The issue is net neutrality, and that simply means that you should be able to access every website or online service at the same speed. The existing net neutrality means that some rich corporations or individuals can't pay more so that you can get their information or products or whatever content faster than you receive everything else. Net neutrality means that the internet will not turn into something like these new private highways we see or pay lanes that are cropping up here in the DMV. The commission is scheduled to vote today on a proposal that could bring about these changes. A coalition of more than 50 organizations are a part of today's protest, which actually started more than a week ago with an occupation of the FCC, with folks camping out at 445 12th Street in Southwest. One of those organizations, boldprogressives.org, created the website and hashtag No Slow Lane to demonstrate the importance of a net neutrality, and Senator Al Franken spoke on that video in support.
Hi, I'm Senator Al Franken. It was American taxpayers who paid for the development of the internet by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Since then, the internet has changed everything about the way we communicate with each other. And the astounding innovation that accompanied and accelerated this revolution was possible only because of the basic architecture of the internet, net neutrality. Net neutrality is the principle that all data on the internet should be treated equally. Under net neutrality, internet service providers have to let all content flow at the same speed. Let me give you an example of how net neutrality has enabled innovation. Before YouTube, there was Google TV. Google TV wasn't that great, so some guys started YouTube over a pizzeria in San Mateo, California. YouTube was better than Google TV, and because both traveled at the same speed to the viewer, people were able to make a choice between the two. YouTube won out, and Google ended up buying YouTube for a lot of money, and everyone has benefited. Now, net neutrality is under threat as it never has been. The chairman of the FCC has proposed new rules to permit a fast lane for content providers that are willing and able to pay for it. This means that big corporations will be able to get their content delivered faster. Mom and pop stores would lose even more ground to corporate giants. Big media companies will be able to get their version of the news to consumers faster. and would end up paying for it with higher rates for internet service and new obstacles to accessing the content that we want. This is the free speech issue of our time. We cannot allow the FCC to implement a pay-to-play system that silences our voices and amplifies that of big corporate interests. We have come to a crossroads. Now is the time to rise up and make our voices heard to preserve net neutrality. We pay for a free and open internet. We can't let it be taken away. We have to win this, and we have to win this now. We need your help. Are you with me?
That was Senator Al Franken speaking on behalf of net neutrality, which is being advocated for in a day of action today. Now we'll see if we can go to some voices from the rally that just concluded a few minutes ago. The first voice you'll hear is Joe Torres, a longtime writer, journalist, activist who works with Free Press.
Okay, so what does this issue of net neutrality mean for communities of color, communities that have been underserved by the online experience?
Net neutrality is critically important for communities of color because it is the ability for us to speak freely online, to speak for ourselves, to tell our own stories. We own very few radio and TV stations, and we have seen the historical harm when we are unable to tell our own stories, when we can't control our own image, when the mainstream media tells our stories and they get it wrong, or they marginalize us and they stereotype us in the media. It is hard to fight for justice if you can't tell your own story. The internet is the lowest barrier of entry up to now for us to have a media presence, to have a voice. Now imagine if there's a fast lane for those who can pay the most, and the voices can speak the loudest online, and those who can pay will be slowed down. What does that mean for our community that don't have the economic wealth to pay for play? We're going to be slowed down. That means our voice is going to be marginalized online, like it has been in radio, like it has been in television, like it has been in cable. And we've seen already the success, the fight for justice, a lot of issues around justice and inequality. What our communities have been able to do with the power of the open internet to mobilize and inform people about what's happening. In order to make change, you have to be informed. And if you can't tell your stories, then it's hard for you to be informed when other people are telling your stories for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I want to hear what you just told her.
Okay. And who asked the question?
Hi, this is Kevin Zeese. I'm with Popular Resistance and was part of the occupation of the FCC this week.
So I understand that you got down here, what, was it a week ago?
A week and a day. Wednesday last week we got down here. We've been down here ever since, and it started with two of us and ended up with 25, so it kept growing, and we definitely had an impact on shifting the debate.
Okay, how so? I think the chairman came down to speak to the occupiers yesterday.
We actually had a majority of the commission, 3 out of 5, came down to visit us. The most important was the chairman, Tom Wheeler, and he came down and has moved a long distance from where he started this debate. When it was first leaked, it was about a two-tiered system based on fees, and so the wealthy would have rapid internet. Some websites that are wealthy would have rapid internet. Everyone else would have a slower internet, and that was caused a real pushback. And so when we saw that, we just dropped everything and decided we had to do something more. We came down here for a rally on Wednesday. And then we announced then that we were going to stay, and we started to camp out. And what we saw happen since then, and you can see it in his comments when he was at the camp, he's now moved to saying he believes in an open internet, he believes in equal access and no discrimination. The question is how to get there. His approach is to make a rule within the current structure where the internet is treated as information service. That's already been found in court a couple times not to work, that you have limited regulatory power once information service. If instead the internet's classified as what it is, a common carrier, something that is there to serve the public, then it can be regulated more for the public interest. The law allows more regulation. So we believe it should be treated as a common carrier. We have three demands: common carrier status so it can be regulated in the public interest, 2, put net neutrality into law so it's there and very clear, and 3, remove all barriers that currently exist in 19 states to allow municipal and other ownership forms, co-ops and municipalities owning in the public interest, rather than just a corporate-controlled internet. And we've seen that happening now around the country. Nashville, for example, has a publicly owned internet. That's the fastest and among the least expensive in the country.
Yeah. So I talked earlier to Joe Torres about how communities of color are impacted, people who have been traditionally marginalized in terms of access. But speak about this in terms of the larger Occupy movement and what it means to have a channel to get your voice out.
Well, you know, this is our organization, Popular Resistance, grew out of the Occupy movement and covers all the various movements. We see 10 sub-movements: poverty, housing, healthcare, bank reform, military, 10 major sub-movements that we see working together to try to change the system. And the real challenge, one of the big challenges, is the media. The media is concentrated. A half dozen corporations own the televised media. And so it's very hard to get our view out. What we've begun to see happen in the recent years is that the internet is a democratizer of the media. It allows for us to communicate with each other, educate each other, and bypass the corporate media. And so it's a very powerful tool for organizing and educating people and mobilizing them. One example I'll give you, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, largest trade agreement in history. The corporate media has not covered it, and the Obama administration has been negotiating it in secret. They want to keep it secret. The media is complicit in that. We were able, through the independent media, the citizens media, through community radio, we were able to get our message out about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And now most activists know about it. They've mobilized enough that they've stopped it in Congress, stalled it, so it's not going any further right now. Of course, you got to keep organizing because they'll keep trying. But so far, we're winning. And we couldn't have done that without the Internet. The Internet was the democratizing force that allowed us to educate people so they get mobilized to actually stop this disastrous trade agreement. And that's one example of many.
Okay, say your name.
Martha Allen, A-L-L-E-N, and it's Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press, and the website is WIFP.org. And
okay.
Those initials stand for Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press.
Okay, so tell me, why are you out here today?
The internet is crucial for media democracy. If it is unequal, if the corporations get control of our internet, that means they have control of all media. WPFW and Pacifica are, you know, one of the few media that isn't controlled by corporations, but six conglomerates have total outreach in all forms of media. It is crucial that the internet not get in the hands of just the corporations that have fast speed and all the rest of us, organizations like ours, schools, everybody else are in the slow lane. It should be reclassified. The FCC can do so back as a common carrier so that we can assure that it's a people's media and not corporations once more controlling, you know, all our media.
Have you seen in your own work how this is impacting organizations such as yours or individuals?
Well, there is no question that having an open media has allowed more peace and justice issues to be discussed, people taking action. There are serious issues to be addressed in this world globally. Everything from, you know, the state of the planet, racism, violence against women, you know, everybody in a way is impacted. And the internet is the one way that we can take a stand and communicate with each other, organize, and do something about the crucial issues that need attention.
So will you be going to the meeting today after the rally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I don't guess you're a speaker, though.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Those were some voices at the rally to save the internet outside the FCC this morning. We heard from Kevin Zeese. We heard from, first from Joe Torres of Free Press, Kevin Zeese from Popular Uprising, and then also Martha Allen from the Women's Institute for the Free Press. And so you're listening to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, what we call the On the Ground edition, dedicated to direct actions just like this, particularly those related to sustainable living, the environment, economics, labor, and culture and media. Speaking of preserving the internet, this important medium as we know it, we here at WPFW, your station for jazz and justice here in the nation's capital, are determined to preserve this station as a listener-supported outlet that can bring you voices from the people that you won't hear elsewhere. Just like Martha Allen was just citing WPFW and Pacifica as an example of community media, which is so desperately needed. And that's because we aren't brought to you by the weapons manufacturers, the oil and gas industry, Big Pharma, or not even by the telecommunications giants that are being discussed today. So we come to you a few times a year to raise money. The number to call is 202-588-0893 or 1-800-222-202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Or if you're listening online, you can pledge right on the website at WPFWFM.org. Joining me in the studio is the great Askia Muhammad here to help me pitch this morning. And he certainly knows a lot about community media, grassroots voices, and the importance of our station here for Jazz and Justice, a veteran here at the station.
Taking it to the streets.
Yes.
And we hear the passion in the voices of the workers at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And it really is thrilling. And if you're a listener, you know that this is the kind of passion that WPFW has always brought and hoped for and sometimes delivered. And now we're delivering it all around the clock. And thanks to this program, we are taking it to the streets in a big way, in a loud way, with your financial support. Thanks to your contributions to this station, we're back at full power. Thanks to your contributions to this station, we have personnel in hand that are improving the quality, the technical quality of what we do, and so that journalists like Esther can come on the air and you don't hear all of the glitches and bumps and knocks and fade outs and things that you used to hear at WPFW. We're better than we were before, thanks to your financial support and the excitement that everyone feels around this station. We hope that you feel it as well and will contribute now. We just need $500 from you right now. In the next, we need about $200 in the next 10 minutes. Please be one of those people who says, yes, I'm excited about WPFW. In fact, I'm excited enough to give. 202-588-9739, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover. No contribution is too large. None is too small. Give now. Join the excitement. Feel the burn, as they say in the gym, and help us continue to make this station all that it can be. It's better than it was, and we can be even better with your support.
Absolutely.
Don't hold it back. Call now.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you mentioned the gym, because I just couldn't get it out of my mind how so many of us have gym memberships, and they take that money out of your account every month, you know? And if you lose your card or you change your card, they call you right away and say, you know, you couldn't make your payment. You know, you're not going to be able to come in and work out. So, you know, we're working out our minds here. We're working out our voices.
Absolutely.
We're providing a place for another type of workout, you know, because, you know, we need information. You know, our whole democracy cannot survive without an educated population.
Your contribution can be given in the same way that you give so many others. If you become a sustaining member,
right,
you can have WPFW give. You can give us $10 a month, make us your smallest monthly bill, $15, $20 a month right now if you call 202-588-9739. This is kind of sustaining support that we appreciate. And to keep this message that you hear going all over the DMV, they can hear this message whether they are listening and paying attention or acting like they're listening at the Pentagon. They can hear it at the White House. They can hear it at the testing station to Aberdeen. They can hear it all over at the U.S. Capitol. This message
right.
can be heard and people are listening.
Right.
So please, your support makes it possible for this message to be heard and not be able to deny that these truths are being told. 202-588-9739. Call now.
or 1-800-222-9739. If you're online, you can pledge right on the website WPFWFM.org, and you want to pledge for the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment. I have someone to thank. I'm not sure if it's a new or renewing member, but I want to thank Cornelli from Bethesda, Maryland. Thank you so much for supporting our show this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you can join Cornelli by picking up the phone, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Cornelli's in Bethesda, but you could be in Silver Spring, right here in D.C., Northwest, Southwest, Southeast, Southwest, wherever. You can be in Virginia, you know, Alexandria, Arlington, over in PG County, in Bowie, where we actually have, I think, our largest listenership.
Right.
So we want to hear from you.
Ward 9.
Exactly. You know, in Mitchellville, Bowie, Lanham, you know, all the towns and, you know, out there, Upper Marlboro. We know you can hear us, our signal's back, and we know you love us, and you know, we know you appreciate what we do. So, this is the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment. I'm your host, Esther Varum, and we are very close to making our goal for the first half of the show. So please go to the call. Go to the phone right now. I think that we can go back to some sounds from this morning's rally at the FCC. We have the start of the rally with folks you know, giving cheers and playing instruments, and then also Craig Ahrens, the president of Free Press. And welcome back to the new Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, what we're calling On the Ground. I'm your host, Esther Varum. And now we're going to go back to some more voices from this morning's rally at the FCC.
Over here with very soundproof windows, what we came here to do. So maybe we'll start off, we'll try a little chant. So how about I say save the, you say internet.
Right.
Save the
internet!
Save the
internet!
Save the
internet!
All right.
That's a good start. It's early, I know. But you know, this is a
This is a
public meeting, but there's not any time in that meeting for a lot of public comment, so we're going to go ahead and do that out here.
All right.
My name is Craig Ahrens, and I'm the president of Free Press.
Hi, Craig Ahrens.
For those of you who don't know, Free Press is a group that fights for your rights to connect and communicate here in Washington and all across the country. And way back in 2005, we first learned about this issue of net neutrality. And back then we called it the First Amendment of the Internet because it was just that important. It was just that important for free speech. It was just that important for organizing. It was just that important for our democracy. And back then we started this campaign called SaveTheInternet.com. And almost every day for almost 10 years, we've gotten up every day trying to fight for the free and open Internet, trying to fight for real net neutrality. Because real net neutrality means no blocking, Real net neutrality means no discrimination. Real net neutrality doesn't allow a few big companies to pay to prioritize their content over everybody else's. Real net neutrality does not allow fast lanes for the 1% while leaving 99% of us stranded on the slow road. But the FCC is voting very soon on rules that would let ISPs discriminate against all of us. That's what they would encourage, and that's why we're here to stop them. Now, I sense from the folks, some of you folks here before, that you've been to a protest before. And you're probably familiar with that age-old protest chant of, you know, this is what democracy looks like. Well, I thought this morning, since we're here to save the internet, we would try a little, this is what the internet looks like.
All right.
You handle that one? All right. What does the internet look like?
This is what the internet looks like.
What does the internet look like?
This is what the internet looks like.
All right, all right, all right. So that's pretty good. Now, probably all of you protesters...
Okay, that was Craig Aaron, the head of Free Press, speaking outside the Federal Communications Commission at a massive rally today to preserve the internet as we know it. Speaking of preserving the internet, this important medium as we know it, we here at WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, we're determined to preserve this station as a listener-supported outlet that can bring you voices from the people that you won't hear elsewhere. Because we know you value real news, real information, because we know life's, you know, about more than, you know, Beyonce's sister fighting Jay-Z in an elevator or whatever else is being, you know, like spread around like social media, because, you know, you're looking ahead. Please go to the phones, support the medium that supports you, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And online you can pledge at WPFWFM.org for the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment. So it's the bottom of the hour, and it's time to get to the comment portion of the show. So you can go to your phones. I still want you to remember those numbers to donate, but you can also call us here at the studio to give your comment on the issue of net neutrality. You know, what is the impact of the threatened loss of net neutrality on communities, you know, already on the other side of the digital divide? You know, what do you say about the importance and power of the internet? What do you think about a possible fast lane and slow lane on the internet? You know, how could that impact how you use the technology? So the number to call the studio, and, you know, we're experimenting. We know it's kind of difficult to give all these different numbers, but you can call us in the studio to comment on the air at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And, you know, the managers, you know, the folks who are, you know, trying to make things better here at WPFW, they want us to still be able to take calls during community comment. You know, if you're a longtime listener, that very often during the fund drive, no community comment. So if this is important to you, it's important for you to be able to continue to have this voice and kind of maintain the integrity of the show, and you'd like to call in during the pledge drive and during community comment, is the number is 202-588-0893. So it's your turn. For the past hour, we've been hearing the voices of those rallying today at the Federal Communications Commission to save the internet. They say that new proposals will create a fast lane for the rich and powerful and a slow lane for the rest of us. I saw one thing online that said it would create a dirt road for the rest of us, you know? So what do you say? 202-588-0893 is the number to call. What is the impact of threatened loss of net neutrality on communities already on the other side of the digital divide? What do you say about the importance and power of the internet? What do you think about a possible fast lane and slow lane on the internet? And how could that impact how you use technology? 202-588-0893. And while we wait for calls, we can go and hear more of those voices from the rally today. We can either pick up the start of the rally, or we can go to some of the Tim Moore. Okay. Yes, let's go to Tim Moore.
Tim, we'll meet you inside.
Okay, so why is it important to be out here today?
You know, it's one of these subtle issues that has, like, a lot of importance for all Americans. The basic ways that we communicate are almost more important than anything.
And I understand that you created the term net neutrality.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. So how did that come about, and why that term as opposed to something else?
You know, I thought it was two N's in a row, easy to memorize, net neutrality. I tried some other ones, broadband discrimination, didn't catch on. You never know what people are going to kind of grab people's imagination. And I just sort of said it had this intuitive feeling, you know, like Social Security or something people, everyone wants a neutral network. I mean, no one wants one people to get an advantage over someone else. Americans love equality.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so before you go, I need to say your name.
Tim Wu.
Okay, that was Tim Wu. And actually, he's a professor at Columbia University, and he is kind of like, you know, a guru in this movement. He created the term net neutrality, and he was outside the FCC this morning with the crowd. A lot of the crowd was kind of dotted with these people wearing orange T-shirts that said Save the Internet, and placards that said the same thing, and banners. Lots of press out today, and you know, lots of young people there, and I actually had one student who I spoke to, and you know, maybe we can get to his voice in a few minutes. Do we have a caller? Okay. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a comment, and my name is Michael Byfield.
Oh, Michael, okay. Very, very close relationship.
If we remember when the Internet, the Internet, which was started by the military, I guess the ARPANET in 1963, and so the taxpayers' money started the Internet.
Yeah, we just had Al Franken saying that earlier, yes.
Mm. And what we are looking at is, today I heard the conversation where a lot of us today are saying, well, in order to get on the highway, you have to pay a certain amount, which is your browser, which is very similar to a cable company. But if we remember 10, 15 years ago, net zero, how they presented themselves was that the Internet was free. And in the very same way broadband is free, when you buy a radio, you just buy the radio, you plug it in, and the broadband is free. And advertisers pay. The Internet is supposed to be the same way. So there's another layer that we are really not looking at, and that platform, for some reason or another, has been taken over in the very same way cable has taken over in the cable industry.
Well, you know, one of the things that people were stressing in terms of their comments, I don't know how many of them you heard, is that they would like this the Internet treated just like, you know, the other utilities. It's to be considered a common carrier, right? And somehow under the Bush administration and then continuing under the Obama administration, that designation as a common carrier was changed so that it's now considered an information media, you know, and then it can't be regulated as much. But if it's returned to being a common carrier, and I think that's what you're talking about with the advent of net zero and those types of businesses, it will be better regulated, and everyone will have better access to it. So that's you know, that's definitely an issue. So thank you, caller. are in our spring fun drive. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, what we call On the Ground, and where we look at direct action and social justice activism and activists here in Washington, D.C., and as far as we can reach, you know, with the power of our radio and telephones and Skype, or, you know, however else we can get the information. You know, one of the things that people were talking about today is the fact that President Obama, as a candidate, strongly supported net neutrality, and many are upset that his appointees have made these proposals that seem to, you know, to be the opposite of that promise. So one of the pieces we have to play for you right now is a question from a caller during a debate and President Obama's answer to him.
In 2007, thousands of people voted for a question that I asked the presidential candidates about internet freedom. And my question was asked on MTV to Barack Obama. Here's what he said.
Senator, our next question comes from a new website that we are partnering with that allows people to create and vote on the top 10 questions that they'd most like to see the future presidents of the United States answer. This was the one, as of this morning, that the community said they thought was number one. So we'll give you a chance to field it.
My name is Joe Niederberger. My wife and I run a small business in New Jersey that designs and implements websites for K-12 schools. I have a question about net neutrality, the First Amendment of the Internet. Would you make it a priority in your first year of office to reinstate net neutrality as the law of the land? And would you pledge to only appoint FCC commissioners that support open Internet principles like net neutrality?
The answer is yes. I am a strong supporter of net neutrality. Right now, if you get on the Internet, the speed with which and quality of your downloads or your links are the same whether you're going to the CNN or Time Warner site or whether you're going to BarackObama.com. What you've been seeing is some lobbying that says that the servers and the various portals through which you're getting information over the Internet should be able to be gatekeepers and to charge different rates to different websites and webcasts. So now what you'd have is potentially you could download and get much better quality from the Fox News site, and you'd be getting rotten service from some mom and pop site. And that, I think, destroys one of the best things about the Internet, which is that there's this incredible equality there. And people, if you got a good idea and you get a great website, Facebook, MySpace, all those, Google, might not have been started if you had not had a level playing field for whoever's got the best idea. And I want to maintain that basic principle in how the Internet functions. And so as president, I'm going to make sure that that is the principle that my FCC commissioners are applying as we move forward.
I appreciated that promise because it meant a future full of innovation, where the next YouTube, Netflix, mobile app, or independent news site could compete with the big guys. Or in my case, where local business could continue to provide excellent service to the community without jacked up access fees. But now, a new FCC chair appointed by the president is thinking about breaking that promise.
Okay, welcome back to the you're listening to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, what we're calling On the Ground. I'm your host, Esther Averam, and we have another caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to thank you very much for this show. I've heard longer shows on this, but you have a real gift for picking people who can articulate the issues very quickly, and I know that you must have run up right before your show since you were doing those interviews live this morning. So this has been a great show. I wanted to ask a question about the linkages between able to get to certain sites and other restrictions that it could lead to or that it's related to in terms of the average person using the Internet. it just seems that it would be opening a door for charging users for all kinds of, you know, things that may now be free. And, you know, I know that it's very hard. Now you do a search and a screen pops up. Years ago, you'd have all kinds of selections, and now the corporations seem to have just bought up so many websites that are related to any kind of search terms that it's really hard to find more than, you know, it's just a much, you know, truncated offering that you now see when you do searches. So I just wondered if you could talk about the potentialities for this, to, you know, if net neutrality isn't observed for it to lead to other harms. Thank you again very much for the show.
Oh, and thank you. Thank you. I think I recognize that voice. I think it's Star. Thank you for calling. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. And then to pledge, it's 202-588-9739 or 222-1-800-222-9739. You can pledge online at WPFWFM.org. And, you know, we have another person to thank, Askia.
Right.
We have to thank Clifford from Silver Spring.
Thanks, Clifford.
I'm not really sure if he's new or renewing, but he's going to pick up the Mad Fred Max Neef book, Economics
right.
Unmasked.
You know, one of the great things, in addition to the excitement that we feel about the new programming and the new changes and the improvements that have happened to WPFW is that there's a pleasant spirit that has returned to WPFW, a collegial spirit, and it is all thanks to your financial support. We need just two sustaining members to make the goal this morning for this on-the-ground edition, taking it to the streets of Community Watch and Comment with Esther Everim. Please, be one of those people to call. Just $10 a month. Make WPFW your smallest monthly bill. Your Visa, your MasterCard, your American Express, or your Discover. The number to call once again is 202-588-9739. Just two listeners. You know, someone told me, a journalist said that if she thought or heard that WPFW was about to go under, she would get out of her sick bed to come and give a contribution. Well, we're not in the ICU. We heard from Johns Hopkins hospital workers earlier in this show. We're not in the ICU now any longer, but we still need your support. And so just think of it, how far would you go to keep WPFW alive and thriving? All you have to do is go to your phone and call and give a contribution now. $10 a month. Be one of those people to help us go over the goal. 202-588-9739.
And, you know, Askia, you know, WPFW is one of the few places where, you know, many of us journalists can still go to do work that we came into the field to do. I mean, you know, I used to work at the Washington Post. You know, I came here from New York. I worked at large papers there. And, you know, the thing is, where can you have a voice? Where can you really do the work that you intended to do when you were in journalism school, when you were in graduate school, wherever? And WPFW is one of the few places where we can have a voice, which is what most of us wanted to have when we became journalists. So, you know, I think that we want to make a challenge, actually, to the journalists we know who understand the rare space we have and the dwindling space we have a voice to talk about the issues in our community that really drove us to be journalists in the first place. So the number to call to support this free speech, you know, the First Amendment place, right here is 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739.
Liberated Masses Medium is what our friend and colleague Jared Ball calls it, and your support is what keeps us that way. We don't depend on the pharmaceutical industry, the arms industry. We don't depend on them. We depend on you. We don't depend on corporate underwriters. We don't have to say, well, in full disclosure, the president of our company is the brother of the subject of this story. Thanks to your financial support, please give it now, 202-588-9739.
Or 1-800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. You know, wherever you are, I've been in D.C. for, I guess, about 18 years now, you know. I'm in Northwest, but if you're in Northwest, Southwest, Southeast, Southwest, wherever, Silver Spring, Bethesda, Wheaton. You know, we never say Wheaton much. But, you know, wherever you are, you know, Tacoma Park, you know, we would love to hear from you. We know you value the jazz and justice that we bring to you, where you can't, that you really can't hear anywhere else, you know.
Cannot hear it anywhere else because we are free of those shackles that come with corporate sponsorship, that come with commercial advertising, thanks to your support. So please, don't hesitate. Make that support known right now.
Right. So we're going to go back and hear some more voices from this morning. I think we have the student from Ohio. You know, it's rough. It's raw footage, so excuse me. I hope it's okay.
Julio Seguera.
And where you from?
Connecticut.
Okay, so why are you out here today?
Just to stand up for net neutrality. Basically, it should be public, more of a public service rather than, you know, a commodity to make money off of.
And how do you see that affect you in your personal way and the way you use the internet?
Well, basically, it's like discrimination. I mean, it, in general, it's just discrimination. They're saying that, you know, some data should be charged more money than other data. You know, whatever, they're not, you know, places like Netflix, they're not just indiscriminately throwing out data. They're, you know, people request the data, and they send it out to people who request it. And, you know, if I choose to, you know, request data from Netflix, then, you know, Netflix shouldn't be punished for that, just for being a successful business. So, in order to proceed, preserve a free market, you know, within the internet, you know, we need to have that net neutrality that allowed companies like Google, Amazon, startup companies to, you know, flourish.
So you came here just for the rally today?
Yeah, okay. My friends and I came down here together, yeah.
Okay, all right. Are you in a business, or do you do anything in terms of your work that impacts, you know, that connects with the internet?
Yeah, I mean, I go to all my classes currently are online. I mean, pretty much everything encompasses in some way the internet at this point. I think it's part of everyone's daily life.
Okay, so you're a student?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 is the number to call. We're in our last few minutes. I'll have to get up and make way for the news with Askia and then Chris to property, with Don't Forget the Blues and, you know, our afternoon show. So I have a few more minutes to convince you to call. And I also want to thank, I actually have another, person to thank. Mike, can you ring the bell for me? I have a new member, and it's my mom. My mom, I want to thank her, Margaret Curry in Philadelphia, for supporting my show. You know, it was like Mother's Day, and this is her gift to me. And, you know, I'm the baby, so she had to support her baby. And so thanks, Mom. And that's a new member for WPFW, and she can listen online on her tablet. So 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We are, okay. Hi, Chris. Okay. So, that is going to do it for me. I do think we made our goal. with all our pledges, and but help us go over our goal,
right?
So I want to give special thanks to Mike Nocello on the board. Thanks to Michael Byfield and Lucy Murphy for their production assistance, and thank you for listening, calling in, and supporting during the fund drive. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at onthegroundshow. Peace. Stay tuned for Krista Property, as I said. And don't forget the blues, followed by the DC Politics Hour with Eugene DeWitt Kinlow and the Empower Hour with Deshuna Spencer. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.